Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, happy Thanksgiving Day 2004. Happy Thanksgiving from me and from Denver Bible Church and the staff and crew here at Bob Enyart Live. Are you thankful for the good things in your life? Let's do a survey of what we can be thankful for. And of course, there are people who immediately think of bad things. You ask people, well, what are you thankful for? And they start listing off all the things that make them miserable, as though they have nothing to be thankful for. Yes, we all live through many hardships, and we all suffer. But if we humbly turn our lives over to Jesus Christ, then as the Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians in Rome, Paul wrote that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Isn't that neat? Romans 8:18, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I am thankful to God for life itself and the extraordinary opportunities that human life brings, such as the ability to enjoy the fellowship of others. Relationships, getting to know relatives and friends, is among the greatest joys of someone who is at peace with God. And enjoying the creation, our earth that God has made for us, in the midst of a huge and awesome solar system, part of a vast galaxy, the Milky Way, which is just itself a speck in our enormous universe. And on this planet, the beauty of his creation, God's creation, the charm of the plants and trees and the flowers. We just bought a plant for Cheryl for Thanksgiving, and she's got it on our kitchen table. It's just absolutely gorgeous. The wonder of the animal kingdom and how our kids sit in awe or stand in awe and look when we go to the zoo or out in the mountains and we see an elk. We saw two bears. When we drove to California Sequoia National Park, we saw one on the road in front of us on a dirt road. In another, we were walking around a meadow, Cheryl and I and our three youngest boys, and there was a cub bear probably 30 feet from us. It was going one way, and we were going the other way. But just the awe, the wonder of the animal kingdom. And in this world, the freedom we have in America to worship God. And I thank the Lord for the crucial role that he has given to us in the fight between good and evil, that we're not just bystanders or observers or pawns, that the things we do in our lives, the choices we make, our actions have eternal consequences. And the evidence that God has provided for us, evidence that we can wield as weapons toward winning that war between good and evil. And again, what is the most important thing in all of existence? The most important thing. What's the most important thing? Relationships. The relationships within the triune Godhead between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, three persons in one God. And that explains, by the way, what was God doing for all of eternity before he made creatures, angels, and human beings to fellowship with. He was fellowshipping within the Godhead. And then the relationship that God has with his children. Relationships, the most important things in all of existence. The relationship that God has with his children and that we can have with one another and with him. Thus, I am thankful most importantly for the extraordinary pleasure of relationships. You can get to know yourself, your loved ones and friends, and your God. And this is possible because 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, God the Son, our Creator, and then our Savior, this is possible because Jesus Christ went to the cross for us. He suffered and died to pay our penalty for sin so that we could be forgiven and so that we can live. So together, we should thank the Lord for all our blessings. Everything that we have that is good, we have because of God. Even when I enjoy a time of fellowship, let's say sitting at a diner, talking with Christians from Denver Bible Church after church on a Sunday, and we're fellowshipping and enjoying one another's company and thinking about the goals and desires we have in this life and in the next. And that joy and that blessing I have because of God, because He made us, and He made us in such a way that we can have these good times and these blessings. So we should thank God for all of our blessings, realizing that our suffering comes only because we or others disobey God's word. That's why we suffer. Because you, because I, or because others disobey His word. And realizing that blessings are the greatest for those who humbly submit to God. You know, people who reject Jesus Christ, they experience enjoyment also. They experience pleasure. They can have some degree of peace and happiness, but it's not that true deep peace. Jesus Christ said that when we come to Him, we will never thirst again. We drink of the living water, which quenches our thirst in a way that we will never thirst again. It is so neat what He has done for us, and all we need to do is we need to be willing to repent, to turn from our life of ignoring Him and to turn toward Him and open our hearts to Him and say, thank you, God, for forgiving my sins through Christ's death on the cross. Thank you for giving me new life through His resurrection. Please forgive me of all that I've done to hurt you and to hurt others and to hurt myself. And thank you for all the blessings you've given me, including now salvation, and that I can look forward to an eternity with you and with all those who love God. Now, the Lord God, He established three institutions for the benefit of mankind. What are those three institutions? It's the IRS, and no, not the IRS, the NEA. No, not the NEA. Sorry, I got it wrong. God established three institutions for the benefit of mankind: family, church, and government. Family, church, and government. These are God's ideas. And let me go through these, and you consider your own relationship to your family and to your church and to the government. And as I go through in my life what blessings I have in these institutions, you could consider your own life. Okay, to start with family, for me, it is Cheryl, my lovely wife Cheryl, and our boys who we pour our lives into, and we love them. And then as they express their love to me, to us, to their parents, our hearts, I tell you what that does to us, when our little boys, and the bigger ones too, if they call up, we have two sons that are married and two grandchildren, although one is still in the womb. And what it does to us, if they smile to us, or a five-year-old looks up and says, "Mommy, I love you," or "Daddy, I love you." Each new accomplishment that our boys achieve, we don't have any daughters. We never figured out girls. But I guess that's, most people have never figured out women, right? Well, we haven't figured out girls, as in how to have them. But boys, no problem. And our first grandchild is a boy. So we have one grandson and another grand something on the way, boy or girl. Those are the only two possibilities, boy or girl. So we'll see. If it's a girl, you'll know if you're within shouting distance of a transmitter. So our hearts just soar to heaven when our kids express love to us and our ability to love them, which is so awesome. You know, love is commitment. Love is commitment. And I remember growing up, we'd be at, let's say, a Sunday dinner after church, and my mother would make pasta and meatballs. And I'd look at the bowl of meatballs and the sauce, the red sauce on the table, and I'd think, how many of those meatballs can I get? Because there were six of us, and maybe there are only 9 or 13 meatballs. And I just wanted that extra meatball if there's any way possible I can get it. And now that I have children and I see the meatballs on the table, I want to make sure that my kids enjoy those meatballs. To me, that's more important than me enjoying them. And that's not something I worked at. I got to work not to be selfish. No, that came the same way that the entire Christian experience comes, through a growing relationship, growing in love, love for God, love for yourself, love for your family, your wife, your spouse, your children. And it's not a set of rules that helps us to honor God in our lives. It's not a set of rules. It's our relationship with Him. And it's not a set of rules that helps us to be good parents. It's our love for God and our love for our children. And that's how it works. And it's the same exact thing with the Christian life. If you think it's a set of rules that will help you to live the Christian life better, if you think that you have to keep the law, right? God gave the Mosaic law to Israel, and there's a big debate among Christians. Do you keep the law, or do you live by grace through faith in a love relationship with God? And I realize that Israel, they were to keep the law, and they could also love God and have faith, and they had to do those things too. But God has given two covenants, a covenant of law to Israel and the covenant of grace to the body of Christ. And my love for my wife is not based on, or it doesn't work because I'm trying to keep a set of rules toward her. And to illustrate that for any marriage, just imagine that, let's say you have a marriage and the husband and wife have their own vehicles, and the wife goes out to her husband's car because she needs to borrow it to run to the store. And she pulls down the sun visor and she sees a note. He had written himself a note. And the note says, "Remember, do not commit adultery." Now, would that make her feel good, instantly happy and blessed? Or would it stress her out? Would it make her feel bad? And I've asked this question to how many women over the years at seminars. And in our tree seminar, we have different Bible studies on MP3 CDs and audio tapes, like the plot, an overview of the whole Bible, and then the tree, how to live the Christian life, and the battle between good and evil started for men in the Garden of Eden at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so that rule, that law, do not commit adultery, I've asked hundreds of women that question, and they have said unanimously that would make them feel bad. Some get rather dramatic when they show how their feelings would be. Some would get sick to their stomach to see that their husband wrote that. But as compared to that in the law, do not commit adultery, what if he quoted the Apostle Paul and said out of the gospel of grace, what if the husband wrote, "Remember, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. How would that make a wife feel, a godly Christian wife? That would make her feel great. That's great. Praise the Lord. Look at what my husband is renewing his mind with the truth of God's word and the gospel of grace. So our relationship to our kids is growing, and it's so strong, and we're so proud of our children. And It's working because we're focusing on building our love relationship with our kids, which sometimes means to be pretty tough with them, tough love, right? Our kids are just so neat. They're such a blessing. So many people compliment us for our kids all the time. My five-year-old Michael came with us for 5 days to Little Rock, Arkansas with 27 other people, and the compliments that I got and he got from everybody for all that time was just extraordinary. Jason Troyer just gave an A-OK, and out of him, that's big. That's big from Jason. So I am thankful to God that he gave us his word, and he's left his word for us to read so that we could learn how to have great families and how to have great marriages and how to live as a human being and function in a way that's healthy and good and right. And for me, was my whole life like this? No. I grew up, well, I'm thankful also for my extended family, my parents, Cheryl's parents, are basically our kids' grandparents and their aunts and uncles who are loving, encouraging, respectful, and a joy to spend time with. We look forward to family reunions, and that's so neat. But when I grew up, when I first got saved, I was the first person in our family of six to become a born-again Christian. My father was agnostic. He was a construction worker. He had a hard life. His father died when my dad was young. His father died as an alcoholic. My dad never became an alcoholic, but he had a hard life. He worked hard, physical, hard work, and worked out of poverty. And he didn't know God for most of his life. And then he became a believer just maybe 5 years before he died of a heart attack. And my mother became a Christian, and the three boys and my sister, we all, four siblings, we all got saved, became Christians. And so I thank God for my family, even though when I was growing up, my mom and dad, they didn't tell me that I had to trust in Jesus Christ to be saved. They didn't tell me that. My dad didn't say anything about God. He didn't go to church. My mother was a nominal Catholic. But I thank God for them. In fact, I wrote my dad a letter when I was in college. And in the letter, I thanked him. I prayed and I asked God, help me think of things I could thank my dad for. And it turned out there was so much that he taught me, even without being a believer. The difference between right and wrong, and lying and not lying, and hurting other people versus not hurting them, and working hard. And I was able to thank my father for all these things that he had taught me. And then I was the Christian, but I realized that, boy, I was a teenager. I was a punk. What teenager is not a punk? They're pretty rare. I think you got to come to Denver Bible Church mostly to find a group of them in any one place. But I was a teenager, became a Christian, first one in my family. And of course, I fought, not of course, but sadly, I fought with my brothers and my sister and got in loads of trouble. And so in that letter, when I thanked my dad for everything he had done for me and taught me, I also apologized to him, writing, Dad, I want to tell you I'm sorry for the things I've done that are not honoring to Jesus Christ or the gospel. And I listed things I did, how I was mean to my brothers and sisters and got in trouble in all kinds of different ways. And I asked him to forgive me and to not hold what I did against God. And my dad wrote me the most incredibly wonderful letter back. And in that letter, he just, for the first time ever, he was hard. He was tough. He was a boxer when he was a young man and a construction worker. But he became tender and loving in that letter. And shortly after that, he repented before God and became a born-again Christian. And boy, were the last 5 years of his life different from the first 40 years of his life. Unbelievably different. And he was Christian and loving and tender. and he shared the gospel with others, and he became a real blessing and an asset to his church, the local church there where we grew up in Prospect Park, New Jersey. So I'm very thankful for my family, my immediate family and my extended family. Then my dad died of a heart attack. And how many years ago now did Mom marry Pops? You've heard me talk about Connie. Connie works in the studio here. And so does Pops, Albert Sharon. He's Jewish. What city is he from? Kiev? I forget. His family going back? He's Jewish, and he became a Christian as an adult. And so he's a Messianic Jew, and he's become such an intimate part of our family. We love him like he's my dad. And so now I have two dads, one on earth and two in heaven. How do you figure that out? But I'm so thankful for my family. And then we have our church. And I don't know about your church, but I could speak about ours, Denver Bible Church, and the strength of Denver Bible Church as we think about it this Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving Day 2004. The strength of our church is its families. Of course, it's God and His Word. It's Denver Bible Church. But for what God has given us, our local fellowship here in Denver, to work with, the strength of our families, the strength of our church is its families and the fathers, how they are role models for their children. When I'm discouraged or I need help or there's a difficult time, you know what family at our church I can look to for encouragement? Any family, every family. I mean, we're a small church. We have 80 to 90 people on an average Sunday. Sometimes we're just barely breaking 100. We were planted by another church January 1st, 2000. So we're just 5 years old now. And we're growing. We started with 30 people, and now we have about 90 people. And we're growing slowly, but it's such a neat place where the fathers are these awesome role models and the mothers who are committed to their husbands, honoring their husbands and serving their husbands. And the father lives to care for his wife and provide for her. And how the mothers give of themselves for their children. And most of the people at our church homeschool. They homeschool their kids. And all of our church members either homeschool or a lesser number send their kids to Christian school. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, where one of our boys goes, Zachary. He's in first grade there. But when I look at the families in our church and the kids, the children, they're so enjoyable. They're just wonderful to be around, respectful, intelligent, bright. They have a thirst for Bible study, willingness, and the church generally. The people in the church, they're willing to be challenged. We talk through what the Bible teaches, how it applies to our lives, how it applies to public policy. Sometimes we disagree and we pray and we ask God for wisdom and to help us be humble and to understand Him and His Word. And the people at Denver Bible Church who want to be obedient to God and are willing to sacrifice of their lives, their time, their money, to serve others and to serve God and to reach out to unbelievers. Wow, I've got a lot to be thankful for at Denver Bible Church. But then how about our nation, America? How about that? Well, I've visited a number of countries around the world. And as a conservative Christians, we get pretty discouraged with our country because of all the immorality. But let me tell you that even though that is true, you know, life is complex and the world is complex. And America, while we have tremendous wickedness here, we also have tremendous righteousness and tremendous opportunity. America, unlike various communist and Muslim countries, we have the freedom to worship Jesus Christ. We have free speech. except in Little Rock. Well, we just got back from Little Rock, Arkansas, where they had routine free speech suppression going on. But we have free speech generally and economic freedom to work and to own property and to save. We are the beacon to the world of the gospel and of righteousness. For example, we're leading the world in the fight against terror because most of the nations of the world despise any kind of moral clarity. They hate moral clarity. They don't like saying that Islamic terrorism is evil and needs to be defeated. They're very hesitant to even make a statement like that. I'm thankful that in the midst of the abortion holocaust that so many are fighting to stop the slaughter of unborn children. And that while we have an animal rights movement that's fighting, there are millions more who enjoy eating animals and even hunting and fishing. I'm thankful that Scott Peterson was convicted for murdering not only his wife, Lacey, but his child, Connor. And that we here at Bob and Yurt Live in Denver Bible Church are trying to get the message out through flyers and ads in California to let people know that the Bible calls for the death penalty for all convicted murderers. I'm thankful that the creationist movement is so strong and growing, and that there are hundreds of degreed scientists who are giving us tremendous, tremendous resources to fight against the lie of evolution. So we've got a lot of terrible things going on in our world and our nation, but there is so much to be thankful for, and I hope you can join me in being thankful to God first for our lives and our salvation. And if you're not a Christian, well, then I encourage you to humble yourself and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you doubt that he rose from the dead, if you're not a Christian and you're willing to look at the evidence, you can call us or go online at kgov.com or call us at 800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278, and we will give you our video or our DVD, Mount Moriah, the evidence for the resurrection. But if you are a Christian, don't ask for that for free for somebody you know. If you are a Christian, you got to pay for it. It's $24.95 plus shipping and handling. All right. Hey, I want to tell you about Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. Their phone number, 303-431-5653. Over 100 staff members, a beautiful 20-acre campus. You should see it all lit up now for Christmas with a huge sign that says, Jesus, the reason for the season. It's just great. Christ-centered, top academics, all for your children, ages 2.5 years to 12th grade. So that's Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, 303-431-5653. And then let me tell you about my life's work. It's my manuscript on the Bible called The Plot. You know what's exciting about understanding Scripture? The confidence that it gives you in life. When you deal with others in business, neighbors, friends, and family, you come from a position of strength when you have a solid overview of the Word of God. Well, I've devoted 30 years to studying the Bible, and we offer The Plot, our best-selling 330-page manuscript, available at kgov.com or 800-8-NYART.